Hi, y'all. It's Dana, just coming at you to let you know, since you're listening to older podcasts and maybe you haven't heard yet, I now train and certify decluttering coaches in my No Mess decluttering process. Go find out if there is a coach who is near you who can help lead you through the decluttering process. Go to decluttering coaches.com. That's my website. Everyone listed there is trained and certified by me. We now have coaches all over the world. If there's not somebody near enough to you that they can come and help you in person, most of our coaches also offer virtual coaching. And that has helped a lot of people be very successful in working through their clutter. If you are interested in becoming a decluttering coach, go to decluttering coaches.com, find out about taking the decluttering coach training course, and find out what it means to then pursue certification. All right, now go enjoy the podcast. Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people. People who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 418, and I'm having a really fun conversation with Libby, and I'm going to call it Infinity Brain and decluttering to allow for all the interests. So this is a term that she said flippantly, and I went, wait, what did you just say? I think I did that. At least that's my memory of the conversation. I haven't gone back and listened to it right now, but I was like, Infinity Brain, yes. So I may use this phrase in the future, and y'all feel free to go, no, that came from podcast 418, Dana. And I'll be like, oh, that's right. Infinity Brain. Do I really need to explain? Don't y'all get it? Don't you get what I'm talking about? It's all the possibilities, right? Like all those possibilities that those of us who tend to struggle with clutter tend to see all the possibilities and all the things. And yes, so you get it, right? Okay, but we're talking about decluttering to make it possible to actually act on those things. So I think this is a great conversation that we had. And I do want to remind you that I am going to be starting my summer break June, July, and August. Okay. So this is getting toward the last of the podcasts before I take a break. So make sure that you're subscribed wherever you like to listen to podcasts, whatever app that you're in. Sometimes I know for me, like I'll start listening to a podcast and it'll just kind of show up and I'm like, oh, okay, great. Yeah, it shows up and I don't really need to go to subscribe. And that's fine, except that sometimes then your phone, I don't know the actual technology that happens, but it feels like sometimes if I don't listen to it for a long time, then my phone forgets that I wanted to listen to it and then I forget. But if you're subscribed, then when the new podcast comes out at the beginning of September, when the first one back after the break comes out, then it's just going to show up on your app. Okay. So subscribe. That's all I have to say. I know. I'm thinking of you, not just me. It's if you listen, you listen. It doesn't matter if you're subscribed or not. It doesn't matter to me. But subscribing will mean that when it gets started again, then you won't miss anything. Okay. I hope you enjoy this conversation about Infinity Brain. Libby, thank you so much for joining me for the podcast. Thanks for spending time with me. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me your unique life situation.
Okay. So I'm a homeschool mom and I also teach art K through 12 at a school part-time. So okay, that's just a couple hours a day, 3 days a week, but I'm still homeschooling. I have three boys. My husband is in ministry and I do a lot of work with him in that. We work with a youth group and I'm also an artist. So I do artwork on commission and I currently have a contract for two different things that I haven't worked on in a while because my art job is new this year. So I'm getting the hang of lesson planning and creating and incorporating that into our life without thinking other things. And so I have three boys and one of them is in high school and one of them has just graduated and is working an apprenticeship in the trades and is still living with us. And my youngest, I am homeschooling and he's like junior high age.
So you have a very busy, full life with a lot of different responsibilities in a lot of different places, it sounds like.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I don't even ever really think about this because I'm so used to it, but we don't have a dryer and we don't have a dishwasher. But I'm used to those things and I'm kind of on top of those systems.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, that's huge to be on top of those. So, yeah.
Right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So tell me what's working well for you.
So dishes and the bathroom are working well. Partly dishes is because I taught my kids how to do the dishes. And so they are my dishwashers. So I don't have to do dishes very much, but I still follow your rule. And I found to my surprise that if even with them doing the dishes after dinner, like I can just leave and they clear the kitchen and clean it up and do the dishes, it still helps if I do the dishes before bed, like whatever's left over. People often have snacks and things, and it just makes it so much easier in the morning because nobody wants to do breakfast and lunch dishes. And everybody is discouraged, including me, if it ends up falling to me. If it gets to be dinner and there's like all day's worth of dishes, that's really hard for us. But dishes is mostly working, and like almost all of your rules, it's been something that surprised me. Like I thought I was on top of it and still following the system when I actually just give it a try and do it, like helps. Like I found that I'm always glad if I did those last little dishes before I go to bed. I don't always do that, but it works really well to just stay on top of that. And that dishes used to be a huge problem for me.
Yeah. To me, having this, they need to be done every day, and not necessarily, I don't always say it has to be done before you go to bed, whatever, but like they have to be done every day. That's what motivates me to do small amounts of dishes where before I would see a few dishes and think, oh, well, I need to wait till that's worth my time. And it's like, oh no, this just moves me ahead in this method, this process that I need to be following. So.
And that happened for me years ago. I discovered you a really long time ago, and I cut down on the amount of dishes we had. We had like sort of just sets of dishes, and I cut it down to like what we need when we have guests over. And so we just quickly run out of cereal bowls. And then that is just an easy kind of natural consequence that makes you have to do it.
Yeah.
And also makes it really doable, so you don't get those overwhelming amounts, that you really can do it all in a reasonable amount of time.
There's so much power in decluttering. Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me something else that's working well for you.
Start with trash. That's one that I think I thought for a long time that I was sort of past that. Like I would think, oh, this area, I've already done that. I'm on to the hard stuff. And so I would try and start with the difficult decisions. And I've just recently discovered that I'm not past start with trash, that that's where you always start. I think you said that in a podcast recently.
Yes.
And I just that hadn't come together in my brain for me, that it really helps whenever I'm approaching something to start and look for trash first. And I had felt like, oh, this is just intractable and it's all difficult stuff. And it's really been unlocking to start every day looking for what can actually just go, because it makes the dread of cleaning increase when it's those difficult decisions.
Yes. And the reality is that trash is the thing that's going to reappear first. You know, that's the thing. And so even though a space has been dealt with before, the thing that's going to reclutter it the most easily is the trash. So getting that out. But then there's also so much value in the trash step other than just getting rid of trash. It's the getting started with no decision. It's the getting started with no pressure, no commitment. You know, so it's, I love that you've experienced that. That's a big breakthrough, honestly.
And those are what are really hard for me. It's the emotional work of doing it and the attachment to things. And so trash is a way in that's not burdensome psychologically and isn't related to the things that I'm attached to that are difficult for me to do and all the reasons that I have this inertia that makes me put it off and not want to start because it feels overwhelming. And yeah, I just always think that I've done the easy stuff and we're on to the hard stuff. And I've been surprised that it works. I thought it wouldn't work for me. And I've been surprised that it does actually really, really help.
Yeah. And it also kind of, I feel like starting with trash in a space that I've already tackled before, the progress is so fast because it is just a few bits of trash. It is just a few easy things. You know, there may not be any dead donations. So it's like, I'm already on step four and I've only been working here for a few minutes. That's powerful.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And that discouragement. And so getting a little bit of encouragement quickly is really helpful because a lot of times when I'm working on a space that I feel like I've worked on a million times and not made progress on, I actually really need that little boost of seeing an improvement.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me what you want to talk about, what some questions are that you have for me.
Okay. So with my adult kids, I mentioned that I'm kind of good at bossing them around. I have taught them how to do their chores, and that worked really well for us when they were little. And then when the older ones got into high school, I kind of let them off of a lot of things because they were just so busy with things that felt very important. And I got really slack in those routines, and like they're out of the rhythm of doing their chores and things. And especially my older son, who's working a really physically demanding job, he comes home and I just feel normally how I relate to young adult, I feel like I don't have a parenting model for this young adult thing that normally I would relate to these young people as another adult, but they haven't gone through the process of living in their own house. They're not like really ready to be just housemates yet. And I don't feel comfortable anymore just telling them what to do. So I've done a lot of just letting things slide, thinking that I can take up the slack, and I really can't. I still need them both to be, all the kids to be contributing like a good amount. And I've found it difficult to tell them what to do. And even like I've been trying to start doing a 5-minute pickup as a family before dinner, because that's the time that we usually all come together. And I thought we could just put a 5-minute pickup in right before dinner. And I feel weird about doing it because I don't know, because they're these adult people and I don't want to tell them what to do. I want to have everything all ready to go, but usually I don't. Usually I'm scrambling to get dinner on the table and I actually really need a hand and it would make a huge difference. Do you still do those 5-minute pickups with your big kids sometimes? Like, you have any ideas about how that works as they're older?
It is definitely a challenge because, like you're saying, they are much more housemates as opposed to that. But at the same time, being a good housemate means doing these things, right? Like, it's not just because I live in my mom's house that I need to do a 5-minute pickup. It's actually that is the thing that will keep any house under control. And so it's almost more important to teach them that this wasn't because you were kids. This is because this is how physics works, or this is how homes work. And it's a gift to have like a very actual, like real strategy, as opposed to you just need to keep your house picked up. You know, like remember when you go into a home or whatever and have roommates or you get married or whatever, you know, remember to keep things picked up. Like that was never helpful for me. Not that that's what my mom said necessarily, but that's what I heard and felt, you know, was just like, you just need to do this thing. Well, just is not a thing for the people who struggle, right? And the reality is that they come from you. And so you're a highly creative person. My guess is that they also have creative tendencies in a lot of ways. And so instead, it's like, this is fact, as opposed to I'm parenting. It's this is fact. We live here. This is the thing that we need from you to live in the house. Like all the adults need to do this, you know, like everybody who lives here, as opposed to because I'm your mom. And, you know, as far as the, what was the other thing? So you talked about the 5-minute pickup. Was there something else that you mentioned?
Just putting things away and also correcting them when things go in the wrong place. Like sometimes after somebody cleans up, everything's just stashed in like random places. Like I find like I can't find my can opener when I'm making dinner or like the whisk or the, like things are in random places where they shouldn't be. And I felt hesitant to lay down the law about this is where this goes in the way that I would have when they were little. I would have just said, this is where this is. And, but it's actually really a problem if I can't find like a spatula or something because it's in some wonky place.
No, I get that. And I have, I deal with that as well. And there's different ways that I look at it. So there, I don't think there's some, and I am definitely not here to go, this is how to parent adult children. Like I'm not that person, right? Like I don't ever do that. Who even knows? Their spouses may listen to this in 10 years and be like, yeah, nothing worked that she did. But anyway, so I get what you're saying as far as like things being in weird places. It drives me bonkers that things are in weird places. I'm like, in my mind, I don't say it out loud, but in my mind, I'm thinking, so you really have never paid attention to where this is every single time when you go to get it.
I've been there for years.
Right. But I make this choice. Okay. There's different ways to look at this because I can only actually control me. So there are different options. I can let it go if it's not like unfindable, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can let it go. It's like, there's two different somebody, I won't give a who it is, even though it's the only one who lives with us right now, but whatever. But you know, was like, where's the such and such? And she was looking in a drawer. Oops. I said, was looking in a drawer. And I was like, I was like, has it ever been in that drawer before? You know, I'm like, it literally has never been, but it, I'm like, whatever, you know? And I was like, here it is, you know, this is this, or you can use this instead. Cause I think it was actually in the dishwasher, but sometimes I just let it go. And I remind myself, you know what, this is because someone else put things away. And I am going to be thankful that they put it away.
Yes.
And I'm just going to choose to be like, you know what? They were helping that. But the other thing too is decluttering even more. Like, so it's like, if they're not putting it in the exact little spot, if I have so much less stuff that I can see and not have to dig anyway in the two drawers. I'm picturing two drawers, like when I'm talking to you, because I have one on each side of the stove and one has things that cut and stuff like that. And then the other one has like stirring utensils and measuring things, whatever. So I'm like, those are the only two drawers anyway. And so things do generally go in those two spots. But if I'm having issues finding it, well, I probably have too much stuff because I can't just open one of them and see it quickly, easily. And I feel like having less stuff anyway, in their minds, it tends to help them be like, okay, the measuring things go in this drawer, as opposed to it's a drawer full of stuff.
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility that probably a lot of times the places where things go, you have to put them in just so that they fit. And if those were not so full, it might be that things getting like randomly stashed in the pantry is actually because they like fell down if they went in the place they're supposed to go, or there wasn't really that it's too difficult to put them where they're like supposed to be.
Well, and it's that lowest common clutter threshold, you know, like that's what you're looking for is the reality is multiple people are using this space and it's not working with it being this full. You can handle it being that full, but they can't handle it being that full. And so it's declutter down to the point where it stays more under control, both functionally for you and for them. And so maybe for you, that function is, okay, if it's not here, I'm gonna look in this one, you know, and that's fine if you're okay with that, but really decluttering more so that it's more clearly obvious.
That makes a lot of sense. And also, I think that that feeling of I don't know where things go and mom's going to get mad at me if it goes in the wrong place is a part of people not chipping in and not putting things away, because you feel like I can't touch anything because I don't know what it is. Like I have a lot of, even in the kitchen, I have a lot of like, oh, I'm making sauerkraut or I've got bread going. And I think a lot of times things don't get cleaned up as well as they should because everybody's just respecting me because they don't know what all my things are. And that's just a too much stuff. Like if I had less things and more space.
Yes.
Even in the kitchen, which is one of our more like really functional spaces.
Yeah.
That might make a big difference.
Yeah.
And it also relates to kids like coming home and just dropping everything. Like I think part of it is because we used to just be home all day together. And I feel like when everybody, when some members of the family are like gone for a lot of the day, like they shouldn't have to contribute as much, but actually they still come home and like, you know, drop all their things that they took with them. And we probably need to rework and have spaces for those things to go. Like, okay, now we have a ton more gear that's coming in and out every day. And there needs to be like a place for that to land where it doesn't, you don't like, I've even found like part of my clutter threshold is like, I can't need to open a lid to put something away. I need to be able to like, like that they need to be able to have spaces for their things to land where they can actually just toss them and they'll be safe and not be in our way and not be a problem that's going to cause friction.
Exactly. And two, with the 5-minute pickup, if there's somebody who their stuff is constantly a problem, saying, okay, we're all doing a 5-minute pickup. Can you focus on that? Can you focus on that? Can you, you know, kind of assign their spots and go back to, I mean, it sounds, but go back to the remembering that we're retraining for a new phase of life here. With the 5-minute pickup, kind of like when they were younger and you did 5-minute pickups and in the beginning, it's not fun, but it's so worth it. Right. Like that makes sense.
And so the 5-minute pickup is actually like a built-in feedback loop that helps everybody to self-correct, like me included.
Yes.
It's like, it's a practice that solves things, but it's also the teaching tool
Absolutely.
That helps you get ready to let go of stuff. And that helps you to deal with the things that are important.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I also see that the kids have a lot of project brain. Like one of my kids are just amazing. And one of them has been realizing some of the things you're talking about. Like, okay, so even though I'm at home, I want to move out soon and I want to be able to take care of my house. And it's always like motivated to on the weekend, like putting a bunch of time in. And then we'll do like a massive cleaning or decluttering project because that's like sort of the first layer that needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't keep up with it. So he like cleaned a huge like room that was very cluttered. And I was like, oh, my stuff. Like, because not using your method, like just doing a bunch of work. And Anne said to me afterwards, like, okay, so it's clean in there, but you need to go through it because it's just going to get bad again if you don't reduce the amount of stuff there. Like he was saying your exact clutter threshold thing in his own words, like that game closet, like isn't a disaster right now, but you have to go through and reduce things or it's just going to end up where it was before.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody takes things out of it, like, and so that's one of my other questions is how do I feel like I've been trying for years to declutter and not getting very far because I'm not like moving the needle farther. I'm not one in one outing enough to have it not be like getting worse. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to make use of this energy when it's offered. I feel like that's a really big gift to have somebody who can come in and clean. And I want to just say, okay, go for it. But I also am like, you got rid of pieces for things that I need, like of special things. And how do I make use of that project energy when it's available without getting sabotaged, without ending up with the problem of conventional cleaning methods where I have a bunch of stuff that I actually can't deal with. That's like the leftover things that are the things that we can't handle.
Right. I mean, it sounds like it's a good problem to have in that you have somebody who is wanting to use this. What I would do is show him print out of the 5-step process and say, this is what works for me. I know I'm slower. I want to take advantage of your energy because I think it's amazing that you're doing this, right? Like, it's amazing. But if we'll follow this method together, which I know is sometimes hard because they get on a whim and you're like, yeah, I had other things planned. But you know how it is as a parent of young adult children. You're just like, I'm along for the ride in their life right now. I feel like it's just the reality, right? And so it's that go, okay, I'm going to take advantage of their energy because wow, that physical energy could really help move the needle, but say, can we try following this process? And most likely him following that process, he's going to see the power of it and see how it works for your brain and see how it just generally works, right? Like, let's start with the trash. Let's do this because this is what works for me. Does that make sense?
Do you think I need to say, don't do this without me? Like, the other week I came home and there had been a giant project done, which I was very grateful for, but I wasn't there. Like, I couldn't be it happened like while I was out.
But you were grateful for it.
Yeah, I really was.
So, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody not to declutter. You know what I mean? So it's that. But also, if you jump in when you are there and y'all follow the method, I think if he starts to see, okay, if we will follow this method, we get it to a point that's actually maintainable for you, then most likely he'll start to see the value of doing this together. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my kids actually said, I feel like teaching them the steps insofar as I have has helped them so much. Like, they maintain their own spaces. That I just think they have an intuitive sense of their own clutter threshold, and they figured out how to do that in a way that I never have. So in their own spaces, they're like on it. Like, they can be themselves and be free, but they've gotten it down to a level that like they can handle, and I don't have to like do anything for them. And one of them actually said to me, Mom, you lack discipline and you have to discipline yourself because you're an adult and there's nobody else to do it. It's like, I feel like he could see that I provided that structure for them of doing those things that ended up teaching them. And I haven't been able to do that for myself. So I want to kind of up my game. I'm really doing these daily practices every day and working on it and feel like, okay, on the work days, I should be making progress so that I'm not still dealing with the stuff that got piled up that needs to go to the thrift store, or I need to make real decisions about by the time the next time this happens comes around. Like, I want to be making progress on it.
Right. Well, and I think too, that focusing on going ahead and decluttering, and maybe be like, when did he start this decluttering for you? When did that start?
He's done it for years. Like, as soon as he got on top of his own stuff, it's like he'd go away to camp or something and come back and just have all this energy and be like, cleaning out the garage today. And I'd be like, okay. And we'd be taking like truckloads of bikes to the bike place that rehabs them, and like kind of learned how to work with me on it. So he partly already does have, I guess he does have some of your method steps in there, more than I probably realized. And it's me having the feeling of, I don't know what he got rid of. And just that strong attachment that I feel like I have important things mixed in with trash and lots of very specific things that only I like understand what they are or what the plans are for them. But also a lot of like wishful thinking about things that I thought I was going to do something with that I just don't really have time to deal with if I haven't in the last however long it is since I got it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. Are you sending your kids out into the big wide world too? It's nerve-wracking, right? As mine venture into their next chapters, I think a lot about if they know how to handle money, budget, invest. That's where Greenlight comes in. It's the ultimate family financial tool, like the cool aunt or uncle of money management. With Greenlight, parents can send money to their kids and keep tabs on their spending. And here's the best part. Kids and teens are building money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. But Greenlight is a learning experience too. The Greenlight app is packed with games that make money management fun and accessible. Kids learn how to save and spend wisely while having a blast. So set your kids up for financial success with Greenlight. They'll thank you later. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/clean. That's greenlight.com/clean to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/clean. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Projects. So many projects. Taking care of all the things gets overwhelming. So when I get that feeling of overwhelm, I know I need to take steps to make my mental well-being a priority. Having someone to talk to, like a BetterHelp therapist, can really help. This time of year is always busy, but with my youngest child graduating from high school, we have lots of extra projects that need my attention. I know from experience that these are the times when it feels extra helpful and essential to talk through my emotions with my therapist. BetterHelp makes it easy to connect with a licensed therapist. The online platform simplifies the process. It's accessible and affordable. After answering a short questionnaire, you can choose whether you prefer to meet via phone call, video, or live chat. And you can plan your sessions at your convenience to suit your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/clean today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/clean. You've got a lot of your routines under control. How much visible space decluttering have you really, really done?
So we had a housemate once. We had a person who wasn't in our family living with us, and she helped me go through the whole house top to bottom like 10 years ago. And we went through everything and like decluttered, but I think I never got to my clutter threshold. Okay. And so that was like undone fairly quickly. So I have lots of need to declutter. Like, okay, there's, I'm as an artist, and especially like I have a really strong attachment to books, and that relates also to teaching and the art that I do. I actually use my books all the time. So I have a lot of decluttering I still need to do. I'm not anywhere close to the threshold.
Okay. So I would really zero in on those visible spaces, because the visible spaces are the ones where they will see this is changing. Our home is changing. Mom is working on this. Because if you've, and I'm not, I don't know if you have or not, but if you've been, when you decluttering, focusing on non-visible spaces, he may not understand the effort that you have put in, and he may think that he needs to do it instead of, you know, where,
yeah,
if you really, if you really show I am making changes, and then they're in visible spaces so that everybody experiences the power of those changes, then I think the willingness to work alongside you, or it sounds like he's amazing and would want to come alongside you and help you, but maybe he doesn't quite understand, because most people don't follow the visibility rule. Like, it is natural to go to that most difficult closet or whatever. Like, that is the normal way to do things, but it would build some of your decluttering credibility with him to then say, hey, I've been working on this space, and be ruthless, like be truly ruthless, which never means that you can't keep everything. It's just, okay, I want the living room to only have in it stuff for living, chairs, coffee table, you know, the TV, if we watch TV as a family, whatever, you know, like that's all that's going to be in here. So that means everything has to have a real home. And so I'm going to take it to its real home, and I'm going to acknowledge that. I'm not just going to stuff shift. I'm going to get rid of something else so that it is not making those other spaces worse. And as you do that and really make an impact in that space, you'll build that credibility, and then coming alongside you, I think, will be powerful. Because
I think that credibility is really important, because one of the kids said to me recently, why are you hanging on to this stuff? Like, this isn't consistent with what you've taught us. Like, this is treasures on earth. I mean, it's obviously not really treasures, because when you're not taking care of things, they don't stay nice, even as good as they were. But the attachment to things the kids can see isn't consistent with what we actually believe, that that physical things are not our most important possession. So why should they be taking up a lot of time and energy? And that's I think that's the difficult part, is that these sort of the spiritual attachment to things and that fear of not having what you need is the real hindrance in making progress. That this feeling that I want, not just feeling, but also experience of decluttering regret, and knowing that I don't think I've ever gotten rid of a book and not regretted it. I really, really love my books and my library and my collection so much. And so often when I have something, I do a lot of I make baskets and I do a lot of handcrafting and building things. That kind of project takes so much stuff. But whenever I have things that I get rid of, I do wish that I had them later, because I actually can and will use them eventually. But it's led to a clinging to things that I know isn't rational and also isn't good. Isn't what we've taught our kids, or the way that I want to be living, that we would be hindered by just physical things in our house. We know that those aren't as important as our relationships, but there's a functional way that I've been not taking care of the space in a way that really serves our needs.
Let's flip that a little bit. And instead of focusing on this truth that you know, that physical things are not more valuable than relationships. Okay, let's flip that. And because you mentioned treasures on earth, which I know you're referring to when Jesus talked about don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven, you know, because on earth, moth and dust and all that kind of stuff are going to destroy those things. Mm-hmm. Flip it. And instead of using it as a way to feel pressure, I know this is wrong. I know my focus is wrong. Mm-hmm. Realize that everything that you let go of, everything that you uncover at the bottom of a pile and realize it's been destroyed by dust and moths and whatever, let that be something that reminds you of what's important, as opposed to evidence of your failing. Don't look at it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't look at it as, because different people have different amounts of stuff. There's not a prescription in the Bible, and I don't usually get into all this stuff, but there's not a prescription for what the perfect home is supposed to look like. We're all different. We're all created to be different, right? And so use this experience of, I know I need to declutter, and the pain of letting this go is a reminder of what actually matters, instead of a proof that I've failed. Do you know what I mean? That a little bit and feel the pain, but also experience what it is that you want, that you're doing this for, you know? And I think that's where the visible decluttering first, in those living areas, do you have things to declutter in your living areas?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I think experiencing that before you get to the, stuff that you've stored away for what if, focus on those visible spaces and say, this is reality. I am going to base everything I do in the reality of my home and the space that we have and the relationships that are most important to me. Okay. So I'm going to work on these things first, and I'm going to get all piles and storage for the future. I'm going to get those out of the living room, and it could take me a month. Okay. It could take me a month of decluttering every day to do that. Remember, again, decluttering is stuff leaving my home or finding an actual real space to be. Okay. And so really going with the take it there now, how good are you at the take it there now?
So that's one of my other things I've been enjoying the process of learning. I'm not very good at it, but I feel like that is part of what I need to do. And it fits together with so many things. Like take it there now makes it be that cleaning is also movement and is like good for our health and good for our body. And I have this vision of like, I used to be a canoe guide and there was this guy who ran the trail shack. So he put together like our food for the week and repaired the equipment and stuff and just like managed all the storage space. And I don't think I was in college at this point. I don't think I had ever met somebody that was so productive. When I had something that was broken, I would give it to him and he would have three other people giving him things at the same time. And he would look at me and say, I will deal with that. And he would go and deal with it right away and give it right back to me and either fix it or get me another one. And I often think of him because it's a model for me. I don't think I'd ever known somebody who like dealt with things right away.
Yeah.
And I kind of try and like think of that as I'm doing things because there's a lot of delusion of thinking I can set this here and future me will be able to deal with it. You've been talking about that lately. Thinking that future Libby will be able to handle this and will be able to figure out where it goes and find a place for it or fix it or do the thing that needs to be done and trying to deal immediately. So take it there now. I have a lot of internal resistance to, but it's such a simple principle that I feel like is another one of those unlocking things of put this in your hand and then like deal with it. I do have the tendency to get really paralyzed and to feel very much the weight of like, not only is this a physical thing, but it's like a spiritual failing that I'm attached to this stuff. And so that's your process has been good because it is just practical and doable and makes it not emotional and helps me kind of short circuit or like bypass my attachment that I feel bad about because regretting where I'm at is only paralyzing and doesn't lead to any motion. Like I want to be like a river that is like going where it needs to go instead of like a swamp where everything's like getting bogged down.
And it's okay to regret getting rid of something. It's okay. That is not a failure. That's reality. People whose homes are under control prefer to live with regret than with clutter. Okay. So they choose, I may regret this and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I do love this item. Letting it go is not me saying I don't love it. It is literally me accepting the reality of our actual lives that we're living. And if you will really focus in on that visible space, on that living area, I think it's going to bring a lot of these things together. Mm-hmm. Like say, I may go slow. And I honestly would not even tell your boys what you're doing because because you need to go at your own pace. But follow the process. Be like, because you just said, you're like, I used to think trash wasn't that big of a deal. And you were like, when I decided to go ahead and follow the process, that changed things for me. So like, follow the process and say, I am going to throw away trash in the living room because that's the visible, you know, that's the visibility rule. And then when I come back to start again, I'm going to start again in the living room. You know, even though I feel like I need to go somewhere, I'm going to start again in the living room. I'll throw away trash, see if I can get a little bit farther down through the process, you know, and really taking it there now and saying this item, I don't want to walk it to the basement or wherever you have, but I'm going to do that. Sometimes saying I'm going to do that, even if it's this one item, this is the thing that's going to move this forward. Will be the thing that will help you realize this doesn't deserve me walking to the basement. I love it, but it's not worth walking to the basement. And so I am going to let it go because
committing to take it there right now.
Yes. Yeah. Take it there now is incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. And I really think that, you know, the adult, you know, the things that you've said that your, you know, your sons have said to you, and it sounds like y'all have it, but it sounds like you have a great relationship, right? Because they are not saying this unkindly. they are saying this because they feel like they can talk to you and because y'all have had conversations about this. Mm-hmm. And you're experiencing this too. So, you know, really focusing in on the, we're going to improve our actual family's lives. Mm-hmm. They will experience that. They will start to understand, and then they'll be much more on board with helping you in the way you need to be helped, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In the way that works for you.
Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit over the edge of what I'm like on top of, but I have found that I can't do it. Like I don't follow the steps. I try and I don't do it. And so many times I have weeks when I hardly make any progress at all because I'm not doing the 5 minutes, or I'm just stuff shifting when I do it. And what I've found that I really need to do is actually pray before I do it and ask for help, because for some reason I just don't have the courage to face things and do the letting go or the doing and taking it there now or the making decisions. I just don't have it in me. And I found that it's really helpful to ask for help. Like even when I have like my son or somebody helping me with stuff, I get really paralyzed about it. And that I found that it's really helpful to ask for help for it. And that it is kind of a spiritual issue of, can I trust that I'll be taken care of? Can I, like, I feel like our life is a long litany of provision and of having what we need when we needed it, even when it didn't seem reasonable that we would. And so I want to live that way more. I don't have to hang on to this stuff because this stuff isn't all my security. And that,
but here's
micro level, I need help with it.
Here's what I'm hearing you focus on though. Okay. Yeah. I'm hearing you focus on the fear of getting rid of things. Focus on the process.
Yeah.
Not on the fear of getting rid of things, but on the process. And remember that it is a valid thing to first get out the trash, then mm-hmm. do the easy stuff that has established home somewhere else. Even if you stop because of physical exhaustion, a legitimate distraction, or emotional exhaustion. Mm-hmm. If I have only thrown away trash and only taken easy stuff to their already established homes, which is the easy stuff is not even getting rid of anything, right? Like it's just getting it out of the space. I can stop at any time. Okay. If duh donations, remember that if it is ripping your heart out, it's not a duh donation, right?
Right.
So maybe you ask yourself, are there any duh donations here? No, there's nothing. Okay. That's fine. Move to the mm-hmm. next step. You have followed the step by asking yourself that question and then go one item at a time. And if you just can't, you set it down and you move it to the next thing. You leave it in the space and you move to the next thing until you are able to ask yourself the question, where would I look for this first? And then go to that space. Is there space for it? Blah, blah, blah. You know, like doing that, every little teeny tiny bit of success, every teeny tiny time that you do let something go, it builds that confidence. It builds that, you know, and that's a lot of what I'm hearing you say is mm-hmm. that fear. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the process is the answer to your prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds really, I don't know. It's weird for me to say my process is the answer to your prayer, but it is, right? Because it's the thing that helps lead you through this. So, you know, let the process help you make that decision that it can go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And mm-hmm. then every time you do let something go and you are provided for in what you need, then that makes it a little bit easier the next time to let something go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even your living room will be better if you just throw away trash that's obvious to you mm-hmm. and you just take easy stuff to their already established homes and you just get rid of two things that you're like, oh yeah, that can go. Even if that's all you do and you never even get to a decision, that space is better. You live with it right. for a little while. Your family notices the difference and is like, wow, mom, wow, you know, that's, it builds that up, and then you're able to keep going. Mm-hmm. Is it bad for me to say that the process is the answer to your prayer? Is that offensive to you?
No, and I think partly what I'm saying is that I actually pray for help in doing the process, because I derail myself, and for just the courage to do the process, because I found that the process does actually help. And yes,
but and knowing that because it's progress and only progress, you can stop. If you hit a wall, you can stop, and you have made progress and you have made improvement.
That's why I'm keeping working at it, because the process is the way that I can approach it. It diffuses fear because it's breaking it down into doable steps. So I'm keeping going in that direction.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Anything else you want to talk about, or anything you want to clarify that you didn't agree with that I said? Or
no, I am really on board with all of that, and it's just the distance between actually doing it, and I assent to all of it mentally when I'm thinking about it, but then it's difficult to actually do it. But that's why I joined Kindred Spirits, and why I keep working it, is because it's the process I found that does work. Yeah.
I think the key for you is really focusing on the visibility role, whether that takes you a day, 5 days, a week, a year, focus in on that visibility role. Mm-hmm. And the experience that you gain and the change in your home that then changes how, mm-hmm. you know, the people who want to help you see things, I think is going to be really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And then my other issue is just space for art, that I actually have artwork that I need to be doing that I don't have like a art space that's set up. And I found that my art brain is such a different part of myself than my decluttering brain. Like, I have to work to do the steps of the process, and that's very different than the like creative side of myself. The steps are like a way of tapping into the side of myself that can clean. So I don't know how that fits in with the visibility role, but that's sort of the urgent thing, is needing to set up a space so I can do my artwork that I actually have contracts for.
Yeah. I think it's that, what space do you have that you do that kind of stuff in?
So it's upstairs. We have a room that's supposed to be where I'm doing my art, but it's all full of homeschooling stuff and workout things and stuff like that.
Okay.
And
I think it's that, realizing that the room itself is a container, mm-hmm. and that the first thing that deserves priority is the space to actually do the art. Like, mm-hmm. that is the first thing. So it's going into that room and realizing stuff has to leave. It has to leave because space to work is the actual thing I need to do, the actual thing that I'm making money doing. And it's also mm-hmm. the thing that you're really great at. Right. And you have one still homeschooling, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
space also doubles as a homeschooling space.
Okay. Is there stuff in there that is from past stages of homeschooling that doesn't apply anymore?
Yes, there is. And I find that stuff very difficult to get rid of, because I want it to go somewhere where it can be used. Like, I want to be able to bring it to a homeschool thing where other people can use it because I know the value of it. I don't want to just send it to a thrift store where. So that's been.
Do you have access to any place like that?
I do. There's a sale day coming up at one of our homeschool co-ops that we're a part of that I'm hoping I can bring a bunch of things to, but I don't have it ready to go yet.
Okay. Well, that would be the number one thing is be ruthless with, this is an opportunity that's coinciding with a need, right? Mm-hmm. Like you need the space to work. This is the opportunity. You also have a son who is wanting to help you. Mm-hmm. So does he drive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if he drives.
Oh, I never thought of sending him to anywhere with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like let him load it up and send it off with this date. Like, I don't know if it involves you having to price it or whatever, but also get it in your head now that.
Yeah. I don't even need anything money. I just want it to get used.
Right. Like, and even say like, I am deciding if you don't need the money for it, I'm deciding that I'm sending all this stuff off and it's going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not even going to price it. And I'm just going to let it be free. And son who wants to help, this is the goal. Like mm-hmm. we're getting this homeschool stuff out of here with the goal of me being able to set up the easel or the table or whatever it is I need for my art, the function of this space being that. Mm-hmm. Because the problem with those spaces is they end up as dumping grounds, right? Because it's like, I don't know where this thing is going to go. I could put it in there. Well,
and that is what happens. The kids do, as they go through their stuff, they just put all kinds of things in there and then it turns into an avalanche. Like, and it's mixed up because I do need to save some of those things for their little brother as he gets big enough. And yeah, so that's part of how they deal with their clutter threshold is putting things in that room. It does end up as a dumping. And it never had occurred to me that I could send him with things to the thrift store because I do tend to snatch stuff back even, you know, when it's in the car, like as I'm dropping off and stuff like that. That might be helpful to say, can you take all this stuff instead of each of those steps of like putting it in the car and bringing it to the thrift store. And even any time that it's there, those are all chances where sometimes I am taking things back that really can go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Take advantage of that, mm-hmm. his energy and his help. So
mm-hmm. yeah. Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Just seasonal items. This, as we live in, a cold climate where there's really winters and summers and we have really different things like garden things and ski stuff and skating stuff and all the winter clothes. And often as soon as I get everything put away for the season, it's not actually over and there's another big snowstorm and I need to re-get everything out. And that's just been a constant source of derailing things where things turn again into a dumping ground or where we can't find things. And there just are such different needs for different seasons. Like I actually can a lot at the end of the summer and other things like that, that are kind of in that seasonal category. I feel like a lot of times I get derailed by the change of the seasons and how there's like actually different sets of stuff that really gets used, like camping. Like we go canoe camping in the summer and all of it just takes a lot of stuff.
I think it does. Knowing that those are the things that you use, they deserve space over the things that you would love to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that letting the space make those hard decisions mm-hmm. to help you let go of some of the things that you're like, I would totally use this book again. I absolutely might have to go to the library and look for it, or I might have to do without this book. But the reality is our family camps every summer and that's part of our family identity. And we absolutely love this thing. It deserves mm-hmm. the space in here. And mm-hmm. creating storage space in your house for the things that you know we need our winter coats. We need our canoe supplies. So the reality is some of this stuff that I totally wish could go and say, and often that will help identify, oh, I thought everything in here was for canoeing. Mm-hmm. And in reality, it's also got, you know, stuff from a sport that my kid played 6 years ago and didn't even like, and blah, blah, you know, and like that kind of thing. So just, does that help?
Yes. I can think of things like that right now. And I just sent a kid camping this weekend, even though it's still cold. And that process of getting things in and out is sort of a picture, and realizing that in that camping closet, there's like a bunch of random homeschooling supplies and old things of my grandpa's and like other stuff mixed in, and that it's having too much stuff in there that makes it not a functional storage space, where if the space was set up so it was easy to get things in and out, that would actually make it a lot easier for us to go on adventures that we like doing.
Exactly. And every time that you do that, and every time you go on that adventure and it's easier than it was the time before, the more inspired you're going to be to let more stuff go in the future.
It's actually, we go canoe camping, so you're like in the wilderness with very little stuff. That's a part of what I want. Like I want to live more free like that for more of our life. And we do experience that when we go away, that sort of being free from the encumbrance of so many things.
Yeah, for sure. Tell me what you love about being a kindred spirit.
I just like that there's more examples of things. Like, I like the extra call that we get, and just I've like listened to, I think, probably all of your podcasts, and I just like having more to listen to and hear and explore, and getting to see pictures of and hear from people their specific things a little bit more often. I'm like waiting for the podcast to come out every week. And so it's just, I like to put it on while I'm working on these things to encourage me and keep me focused. And so I just like having access to a little bit more.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Anything that else you wanted to cover?
No. This was very thorough. Thank you.
I solved all your problems. Well, it's been so fun to talk to you. And you're such an excellent example of, you are so cool and so gifted and so talented and so intelligent, and you do so many things. And I'm like, this is the reality for so many of us who struggle with clutter. It's because you do a lot of really great things. Like, it is not a result of just not caring. It's a result of you being so talented in so many areas. And I'm like, this is the common thread that I see again and again, is this creativity and this drive to do amazing things. And the beauty of decluttering, while acknowledging that, okay, and not asking you to be a different person, but instead saying, how can we let go of stuff and acknowledge who you really are and acknowledge the reality of your space, which will then free you to even more fully do the things that you're amazing at.
Mm-hmm. Well, cause it's, and you see that on Kindred Spirits, cause there's so many people who are working artists or doing other really cool things and making it work. So it is cool to see people who have made a lot of progress and learned a lot. And also, it's ironic that that infinity brain that allows us to have big ideas is exactly the thing that makes it difficult to do our big ideas. And that kind of capacity to think and dream of things and like really make them happen can be a hindrance in actually getting things done.
I've never heard that term, infinity brain.
Oh, that's the way I think of it in my head. How you say project brain, I feel like I have infinity brain. Like, I'm often frustrated with other people for not seeing the possibilities in things. Like, I write curriculums for things to do with kids and run plays. And like, yep. I'm illustrating a curriculum for a friend's geography songs that she made. And I just tend to see infinite possibility and also be extremely idealistic. Like, I really like to not have trash. I like to be really frugal, do things that are in a way that's beautiful and like environmentally sustainable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I've imagined a thing that I thought could happen, and I don't know that it could happen. Like, I don't know anybody who's doing this thing, and I've decided without even realizing it that this is the way I want to live. And it might not actually be realistic. This like vision that I'm going to do all these things sometimes is not really feasible. And so it's like I need to be reined into what's actually possible. Like my husband and I talk about not just dreaming up the ideal thing. Like when we needed bunk beds, I was like inventing these triple bunk beds that I wanted to be custom made. And he talked me down into like, choose from among available options. Like we have to actually look at what's here and just pick a thing that exists in the world that like we have access to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, so have you read How to Manage Your Home?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like the idealistic me that, I mean, like,
yes,
you know, exactly. what I wished was true. And then the reality of what is not true.
Yeah. I sort of non-consensually read most of it aloud to my husband while I was reading it. Cause I was happy and like having my mind blown.
I'm glad. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much for being willing to do this.
I've been looking forward to talking to you and trying to plumb out things that apply to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this has been great. I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of people who are going to relate so much to what you're talking about. Didn't y'all love that conversation? I did. So I hope that you will go check out Patreon, patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. That is the group that we were talking about. That is the group that I really think you'll, you know, enjoy being part of that group. And it's a great time to join for the summer to kind of keep you on track and keep you focused when there aren't new podcasts coming out. All right. Again, that's patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. All right. I will talk to y'all later. Bye.